Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look some more about this idea of how we can have joy even in difficult situations. We're kind of going to see that theme run over and over in Philippians. Today, the title, if there was a title, would be Shine Like Stars, Shine Like Stars. So we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 18. Philippians 2, verses 12 through 18. So Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and here's what he says, beginning in verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless," or pure, if you will, "the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." Again, looking at this idea of joy. I want to give you maybe a familiar illustration, but it carries the point today, and I hope that you will look for this even in your own life. This is from the Accountability Connection, and it talks about in one scene of the movie Superman, Clark Kent, he's upset after a football game in which he was reduced to being a manager. He possessed supernatural powers, but he must hide them from peers who don't accept him because he is not a star, only a team manager. And so Kent's father slips an arm around the soon-to-be Superman, and he says, "Son, you're here for a special reason. I don't know what that reason is, but I know one thing. It's not to score touchdowns." Sometimes in our life, we get jealous of other people and their successes and their gifts. But the reminder for you today is God has purpose for you, and you need to live out that purpose for his glory and your joy. And that's where you'll find the most joy. You guys remember from last week, we were in chapter 2, and we started in verse 5. Okay, actually, we can go quickly review back all the way to verse 1. There was some discontent in the church at Philippi, some divide, especially there's two ladies we'll see in chapter 4 that they weren't getting along. And so Paul starts right off with verse 1. He says, "Has anybody been blessed by the Lord?" You ever heard that at this place? Right? Okay. You can see where the preachers kind of get that from, right? Okay. Yeah. Has anybody been found his comfort, felt his love, been a part of his spirit? Have you had any benefit from knowing the Lord? And people will be like, "Yeah, Paul, we have. We know what you're talking about. He's been good to us, but we know you're setting us up." And he is, right? Paul says, then let you need to esteem others better than yourselves. Got to be one of the hardest commands in all the scriptures. Not just love your neighbor as yourself. Paul says, esteem others better than yourself. And he's trying to help with that discontent and the divide there in the church. And so then in verse 5, what's he say? Let your attitude be that which is of Christ Jesus. That's pretty challenging, isn't it, right? If we're going to make this thing work, we have to have the same attitude that Jesus has. And what was the attitude that he described? We talked about all last week. Jesus is at the throne room of heaven. He's the creator of the water, the creator of the land, the creator of the Grand Canyon and the mountains, the creator of all the seven seas. Jesus put those things together. And yet he comes to earth to be born in Bethlehem, a baby in a manger that doesn't even have a home. It's outside in the where the animals are, right? If Jesus would leave the highest of heaven, come to the lowest place of earth, and not only that, what's Paul say? He was obedient even to what? To death, and not just any death even, right? To a false accusation death, to the, if you will, the electric chair of the day. He went to the cross in obedience. Now you hear what Paul is telling the people in that church? You need to have the same attitude that Jesus had. And the only way you can do that is through the Spirit of God, right? You guys, that's what I've been trying to hammer home on Wednesday nights. We cannot have the attitude of Christ without the Spirit of Christ. And by submitting ourselves to God's Spirit, then we can humble ourselves like we need to. We can esteem others better than ourselves. Now, the good news was what happened there at the end of that passage last week, verses 10 and 11. What is God going to do with Jesus? What has he already done? He's exalted him. He's given him a name that's above every name, right? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue would confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father, right? And we celebrate that. Even today, we celebrate that. And so Paul has been kind of laying out this thing here, guys. What I need from you as a church, I need you to get on the same page. I need you to love one another, and I need you to put others before yourself. I need you to look like Jesus where you're at. And so as we come into the message today, he's going to say, if you'll do these things, you're going to really stand out. You are going to look different. And it's not because of what you're wearing. It's because of who you are. And that's what the church here should be today. And so I want to challenge you as we think through this morning. Do you look different? I don't mean to how your hair is or your clothes, but by the way you love and the way you act and the way that you live for the Lord, do you look different in the world? And people say, wait a minute, there's something different about that Rick McClain. I can't quite put my finger on it, but even when he should be like completely stressed out, he has some of this strange peace about him, right? Or whenever I see Donna and she is like in the middle of the craziest day, she is honoring the Lord and she's serving the people at her workplace. How does she do that? Or when Mr. Penn there has 8,000 iPads and all week long the server doesn't work and the content filter doesn't work and the firewall's down and the principals are about ready to wring his neck and he's still polite and he's still understanding and he's still trying to serve the best of his ability. They're like, wait a minute, what's going on here? You guys see that, what I'm talking about this morning? So as we look together here today, I hope you'll be encouraged to stand out. This morning I want to start off by telling you about a friend of mine. His name is Ernie Lewis. And Ernie is a longtime friend. He's probably, I don't know, 15 years, maybe older than I am. And Ernie was our camp director when I was a kid. Now, Ernie, if you got to know him, and a lot of people in Free Will Baptist circles would know him, a lot of people would say Ernie should be pastoring a lot larger church because of the way that he takes care of business and the way he takes care of the church and serves the church. But let me read here just a few things about Ernie. He's bright, he's quick-witted. He could probably do about whatever he wanted to do growing up. Again, he could be on a grander scale in some things, but Ernie is willing to do anything. He will clean the toilets at church camp. Anybody ever done that? Some of you have. Some of you had to scoop goose poo just yesterday, right? To get ready for the car show. He is a treasurer. He roofs buildings. He's an EMT. He's a bus driver. He's alumni director. He's a clerk. And he's probably a thousand other things. You know why? It's because he's made himself available. And there was nothing that was beneath him. You hear that today? Same with our Lord, right? I mean, if there was anything definitely beneath Jesus, it would be coming to earth. And even more so, to die as a criminal on a cross. And yet he humbled himself so that he could rescue and redeem us and so that his Father would glorify him. So today I want to challenge you. Are you willing to make yourself available to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Let's look down at verse 12. Work it out. Work out your salvation. Let's see if we can explain this morning. So Paul writes in verse 12, he says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only when I'm in my presence, not only when I'm there, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. I love what he says here. Paul says, obey Jesus, not Paul. This morning I would say the same thing. Obey Jesus, not Travis. Are you hearing me? Hopefully, I'm trying my best, guys, to live for the Lord, and I hope I can be a good example for you as I live. But the message today is not obey Travis. Definitely, right? And it's the same thing here. Paul is laying it out. Obey the Lord. Work out your salvation with the Lord. Now, let's be very careful here this morning, because sometimes we have this discussion. We had a good, really good discussion in Sunday school today about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. This doesn't mean that you earn your salvation by doing good things. You guys realize there's a lot of people think that way, right? in actions and in love. And Paul says, this is what's important. You guys need to work out your salvation, with fear and trembling. The way I'd word it this morning, if you have been saved, you live out the grace you have received, right? If you came to know the Lord, you've surrendered your heart to him, you know what happens is he comes into your life. He transforms the way you think, right? I think maybe Brother Michael showed us not too long ago about renewing your mind, right? Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. The Lord changes you over and over, and you become a different person. You're going to live out that change because of the grace that you have received. The idea here is you would obey God and you produce a life that is pleasing to him. Again, it's how it works out. It's got to work from the inside out. Are you with me this morning? This is so important. Some people try to do it the other way. They're like, well, if I pray enough, if I give enough, if I witness enough, if I go to church enough, if I help enough, I'm okay. That's the opposite of what we're talking about here. And I know it's a fine line sometimes. But when you come to Christ, he transforms you inside out, and then you have a desire to pray. You have a desire to live, to love, to serve, to give, to testify. Those things come from your relationship. They're not things that earn it, and that's the difference. It's learning to make the best decision when you have two good decisions. You ever had that problem? That's a nice problem to have, isn't it, right? You know, maybe you have one job where you're looking to get a new job, and the one job is going to give you more money. But the other job is maybe even less money, but it's going to give you an opportunity for greater influence and ability to witness. And you're like praying about that decision, right? How do you know which one to take and choose? And that's where we have to walk by the Spirit. And so what we find here this morning is working out your salvation is sometimes it's when to make the best decision of two good ones. Sometimes working out your salvation in fear and trembling is making the tough decision when it costs you something. To follow the Spirit. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Sometimes you're going to make a decision, you're going to take a stand, it's going to cost you a relationship. It's going to cost you a friendship. For some people, it costs them their very family. Can you imagine that? Some people in some places, when they profess Christ, they're abandoned by their family. That is working out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? That's not something that you would do lightly. For some people, to be baptized is the end of their fellowship and community because they're identifying with Christ and now their community casts them aside. Paul says, you guys and me, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What do you fear and tremble about? You probably didn't fear and tremble today about what you're going to have for breakfast, right? Because that's not the most significant decision. But some of us, when you had to buy a house, did you fear and tremble a little bit? How about, ladies, when you said, I do, to that man that said he wanted to marry you? Did you tremble and fear a little bit there? Right? Sometimes those big decisions are what causes us to think and to have some reverence and to seek out the Lord. And what Paul's telling us here today is that our life for Christ, that is the significant thing. The thing I want to lay out to you, and again, I almost preached this whole message from Galatians 5 because it was so good to me Wednesday night, was what really counts. We talked a little bit about it in Sunday school this morning, but what you have in the Galatian church is there is a group of people came in, and they said, okay, guys, well, if you want to follow God, you got to stick with the Mosaic customs, okay? If you want to be right with God, the men need to be circumcised. You need to stop eating certain foods. You need to start following and practicing the law of Moses. And Paul said, excuse my English here, but ain't no way. We're not going to do that. That destroys the gospel. That destroys the offense of the cross. And some people have been even accusing Paul about preaching circumcision. He says, well, if I'm preaching circumcision, why am I being persecuted? That's what he says in chapter 5. And so then he says this. Look in verse 6 of Galatians 5. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. What does he say right after that? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. If you don't know that verse, you need to write it down and stick it in your heart and put it in, you know, deep inside of you. What really matters here, Paul says, is a faith that has action, and that action is love. I can't repeat the whole story today, but Wendy told us on Wednesday a fantastic story of a young girl who was overseas, and she was handing out shoes to these families, And when she got the shoes were so nasty and smelly and dirty that she didn't feel she could give out the shoes that way. So she went and she scrubbed and she washed all those shoes. And she handed them out to those Muslim women. And one of the women said, "Why did you wash the shoes for us?" And she had a faith that expressed itself in love. You guys see that? What a powerful illustration of what every believer should be. Instead of condemning those people and saying, "I'm not going to talk to those people and I don't want them around me," she said, "I'm going to love these people and I'm going to try to see if I can share with them the love of Christ." Okay? This is making yourself available and then following through when God calls, even when it doesn't make sense, which is a hard thing. Let's put this together again for you this morning. Sometimes you have to follow God even when you're not sure how he's going to work it all out. This is from Mark Earley. It says, a few years ago, Chuck Colson was standing in a long line in the airport in Jakarta, Indonesia. He and some prison fellowship colleagues had been traveling all night. It was now early in the morning. The terminal was hot and steamy, and they were all tired. As Chuck relates in his book, Being the Body, he says, passport in my sticky hand, I was exhausted and exasperated at the long, inefficient line and snaking ahead of us. I was worried we would miss our next flight and the ministry friends who were waiting for us. But Chuck adds, I was also determined not to let my frustration get the better of me. I talked with my friends. We laughed and we made the best of the bad situation. Well, 2 years later, he received a letter from a businessman who lived in Singapore. The man had been a follower of Confucius, but he sent his children to Sunday school at a Presbyterian church for moral training. One Sunday, as he picked up his kids, he heard the end of the sermon. A visiting missionary held up a copy of Chuck's book, Born Again, and on the cover was a picture of Chuck. A few months later, this businessman was stuck in a long line in a steaming Jakarta airport, and glancing over into the line, he spotted the same face he'd seen on the cover of that book, Born Again. He was so impressed by Chuck Colson's calm demeanor and cheerfulness that when he got back to Singapore, he got the book, he read it, and he committed his life to Christ. You get it? You're in the checkout line at Kroger, and there's, maybe it's the less than 20 items line, and the three people in front of you all have 37 items, and you're like, oh, right? The guy comes swinging by you, and he cuts you off in your car. How do you respond? Well, see, there's other people in that scenario, and they're watching your actions, right? You're at work and there's an opportunity. If you can skirt a couple things, maybe cut a little corners, tell a fib or two, you can save your company tens of thousands of dollars. There's people watching you. Are you hearing me today? Even when you think, what is this? Where is the Lord at in this? As you let your faith express itself in love through action, you're going to have a witness and an impact, all right? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Again, not this fear that you're going to die lost at any moment. Paul already started off in the beginning of the book. He who began a good work is able to complete it. But the kind of fear and trembling that recognizes you are serving the Almighty God, and that the most important thing is the working out of your faith. The way I would write it is how you live matters now and in eternity. And so today I put up there, does that sound familiar? I won't mention them by name, but there's someone in here who their tagline is something very similar to that. It ought to sound familiar, right? What are you doing, and does it matter in the big scheme of things? That's working out your salvation with fear and trembling. The kind of fear and trembling that humbles, that reminds us that we are a servant after the very heart of Christ. The kind of fear that reminds us that we are working for God. If you can put yourself in that spot, that'll make your job so much better and so much easier. All right, let's go on down to verse 14. Let's talk about shining like stars, shining like stars. This should be easy if we will follow the Lord. If we'll do the first part we talked about here, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, you will shine like stars. Verse 14, Paul says to the church, do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved or perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Paul says, do everything without complaining or arguing. How you doing? Anybody ever complain this morning? Oh, it's too cold. Oh, it's too hot in here. Oh, the donuts were stale. Who made that coffee? That was like, what? Oh, I can't even get in the shower now. Come on. Why'd you take so long? Any complainers or whiners in here? Right? The Lord says, if we will have an attitude of grace and of gratitude, it will help us as we stand out and shine for him. So he hits us right off the bat. Paul hits us first. He says, hey, do you do everything without complaining or arguing? Maybe you've heard that famous phrase, there's no crying in baseball, right? There's no whining in the church, right? You want some cheese with that wine? You guys heard phrases like that, right? Okay. Hopefully your mom and dad tried to teach you about whining, right? This idea here helps us stand out. We don't have a reason to whine because the Lord has been so gracious in his gift to us. So in gratitude, we respond with thanksgiving. We follow the Lord's example, the Lord who humbled himself from the highest of heavens to the lowest place of earth. Did Jesus whine and cry about his problem? He obeyed. Whew. Powerful example, isn't it? All right. I'm going to be real. Again, I've been doing this a little bit lately. I'm being transparent with you here this morning. The preacher was whining the last couple weeks. You know what I was whining about? Oh, I don't want to be the MC at that crazy car show. I like the car show. If I just didn't have to be the MC, I'm not good at that. I hate doing things I'm not good at. Are you guys that way, right? It's one of those things, somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to step up. I don't like that. I don't want to do that. Why do I have to do that? And so even this week, I was praying. And I prayed on, I think it's Friday night or Saturday morning. I said, Lord, would you help me with this? And would you give me a divine appointment this weekend? So yesterday, the Lord always does this to me. Of course, he just has to like pour salt on the wounds and straighten the preacher out, right? Try to get things set up. And we know the rain is coming. So I think it was, I don't know if it was, maybe it was Simple, I think, said, well, the storm's coming. I better go and visit the cars now because we're not going to have much time, you know, to check it out. Of course, Simple's so amazing to talk with people. And so I started making, followed his example, started making my rounds. And I came around to the side, real close to the registration table. And there was a lady, when she first came up, her and her husband, he had to help her out of the car. And she had a hard time kind of getting, but she got settled in. And so I just went over there and started to talk to her. You know, my name's Barbara Jean, whatever, or Bobby Jean, I think. And I said, my name's Travis. And so we just started talking a little bit. And she said, well, who's the preacher? I was like, well, I'm the pastor, you know, so okay. And we just kept talking a while. And I was trying to listen to her story a little bit, what she's been through. She was really giving her husband a hard time. He had a 51 Chevy. He was 51, and that was his baby and things like that. But I just sat there and talked and listened to her, and you could tell there was something in her heart, there was a longing kind of thing. It's like, okay. And so I sat there for a while, and then finally I just, you know, so you guys have a good day. If it rains, here's what we're going to do. And so we come on around for lunchtime, and Wendy starts talking with this same lady, and she probably talks for her, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes, just or listening and talking both, right? I want to tell you, at the end of lunch, this lady just starts tearing up. And she reached out and she grabs my arm and she's like, thank you so much for today. All she needed was someone was to listen to her, and that was expressing love. Are you guys hearing what the Lord did today? I mean, what? So many of us would say, well, I can't preach. I can't give this fantastic whatever. She just needed somebody to recognize that she was heard and that she was valued. And I told her, I said, you just made this whole day for me. And I told that to Rick, because I know sometimes it's discouraging. We have all the storms, you do all this stuff, and we gave out lunch. And who knows what else happened, what the Lord did that day. But I know what the Lord did for her that day is that she was valued and loved again, and she knew that people of God would do that. Right? That has nothing to do with Travis or Wendy. That is people just trying to live out their faith. And many of you guys did the same thing with other people, but that's the story that I know about, and it had a huge impact. All right? Shine like stars. We looked a little different yesterday because there are other people that, because of her handicap, if you will, they neglected her. They might have said hello and just moved on, but they didn't listen. But people that are trying to follow Jesus should listen, right? And should love. Okay, so take that with what you would today. I hope that would encourage you in what we're trying to do. And the Lord gave us that divine appointment, and he worked it out. Paul says we should work towards being blameless and pure. What a high and lofty ideal. It should be our goal as Christians. We should be getting better. Is that challenging to you today? Look back at your life. Go back a year. We all know where we were a year ago here, right? With Brother Russ's passing. In that past year, have you grown closer to the Lord? Or are you stagnant? Or are you falling backwards? Right? As we try to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, we should be becoming more like the Savior. And we should be growing in our faith. I hope that you'd be encouraged in that today. How are you doing in your Christian walk? And what Paul says here, and I think this is so easy, I don't even have to spend a lot of time on it, but he says, if you do this, you're going to shine like stars in a crooked and a perverse generation. Do you think this generation is crooked and perverse? Do we have elements of that? Right? What I would say in this way, he reminds us, we will shine as stars as we hold out the word of life. And that's our job. We live out Jesus to the people around us. And so how are you holding out the word? How are you pointing people to Jesus? A way to look at it is, would you be different? Are you different? In an age of self-help, self-promotion, self-righteousness, and self-esteem, you better tell yourself to help somebody else. And you'll stand out. Like a star in the night. That's what Paul says. If you will work out your salvation with fear and trembling, if you will stop complaining and murmuring, if you will work at being blameless and pure, you're going to stand out. You're going to look different. People are going to be like, wait a minute, there's something about that person. And that's my challenge to you this morning. Do you look different? We had a good discussion again on Wednesday night, and we were talking, Diane was kind of sharing even about, a Christian is someone who they're generous and they're kind, and those things are true. But we all have coworkers that aren't Christians that are generous and kind, right? I mean, some of them more so than us, okay? But what is the motivation for what they're doing? And what is leading them to what they're doing? That's where we stand out. Because as we do those things, we hold out the word of life. And we honor God with those acts of kindness and love and things like that. So again, Paul is laying this out. If you will do these things, you will shine like stars. It was important to Paul for the Philippians to live right because he'd invested his life in them. He didn't want their lives to be wasted, and he didn't want to have his life be wasted either. Did you hear what Paul said at the end there? He said, even if I have to be poured out like a drink offering. You know what that is, right? That's a sacrifice. Paul here is alluding to the fact that he may die in prison. I think Paul knew, and what church history tells us, is that Paul was killed for his faith. I think he knew that was coming. He'd already seen it in Stephen. He actually was there and witnessed Stephen. He was the one that was collecting the coats. Remember that? He knew what it was to follow God and the cost of that. But here he says, if you guys will live out and have the attitude of Christ and you'll stop your complaining and murmuring, if you'll be pure and be blameless, you're going to shine like stars. And that fills me with great joy, even if I have to give my life for this. That's what it's all about. So don't let me find out that you are just like everyone else and that you're not striving, you're not working out your salvation, because then I'm going to feel like I've wasted what I was given. And that's our challenge today, even today. Are you today trying to deal with your current pain, or do you find yourself constantly focused on yourself or others? And so in a quick summary here, I would give you those things, again, that are on the screen. Are you working out your salvation? That means with fear and trembling, you recognize the significance of pursuing decisions that please God. Are you grumbling and complaining, or do you have an attitude that is full of gratitude and humility and meekness? Are you different? Are you shining as lights in a depraved generation? Do people see your life and there's something different about you? So my challenge again today is that you would pray for God to use your life. And then you would be willing to make yourself available no matter what he asks you to do. Who knows? God may even call you to work on iPads. You guys, from fourth grade, I can remember where I was sitting in Hazeldale Church. It was a CTS competition. And I had already already become a Christian as a six-year-old child. I was in fourth grade, and right there in that pew, I was like, God, I want to be whatever you want me to be. And I just surrendered everything I had. And at the time, from that time on, I thought, I'm going to be a full-time Christian minister. I had an uncle who was in Christian ministry, and I thought, that's what God's going to have me be. So I went to youth camp. I did CTS church training service where we did Bible sword drill, and I did memorization, right? I tried to help be a leader in the youth group. I went to Bible college for 4 years. I went to seminary for 3 years. I had 7 years of post-high school schooling, and I ended up in Salem, Illinois, working on computers. Like, my plan was not the same as God's. But God knew that he was going to have to throw me out into the community, because otherwise I was going to get stuck in a little office, and all I was going to do was be concerned about myself. And so I became a bivocational minister, right? And again, mainly because God pushed on me pretty hard. How about you today? You may have plans and things you want to work them all out a certain way. Lord knows our plans don't work out the way we think a lot of times, right? Are you submitting yourself to God's leading, or are you fighting all the way? Well, let's close with this illustration. We'll be done today. While traveling in Jordan, the Leadership Journal editor, Marshall Shelley, he noted this. He says, while driving through the countryside in the small towns, you're impressed by how many Jordanians spontaneously wave at the bus. Some of those who wave were shepherd boys. Usually alone, a boy, perhaps 12 or 14 years old, will be standing near a flock of goats or sheep, often in utterly desolate terrain. I wondered how the animals could find enough vegetation to even feed themselves among the rocks. Well, toward evening, we'd see a boy leading the flock back to the tent where his Bedouin family lives. What does this kind of boy do all day? There's not much to do in a rocky wilderness except look for shade and keep the sheep in view. How does a boy keep himself occupied? Well, the Bible might provide a clue. One such shepherd boy who grew up not far away was named David. He must have spent his time singing songs and throwing rocks. Day after day, with the sheep, there would have been lots of time to make up songs, and certainly there was an endless supply of rocks. Did he ever wonder if he was wasting his time by singing songs and slinging rocks? Interestingly, those two skills, honed by hours of solitary practice while watching sheep, proved crucial in God's plans for him. His musical abilities were put to the service of a king that tormented King Saul and calmed him at least briefly. And later, his musical abilities had a more lasting effect as David penned the psalms that we still sing and recite today. And the rock throwing? Well, that skill, of course, led to David's stunning victory over Goliath. The stone slinger emerged as a national hero. And as I traveled the rocky landscape of the Holy Land, I pondered the rocks. They are everywhere. Easy to complain about or to overlook. Yet for David, they were the raw material that God used mightily. Maybe you're looking at your life something today that is mundane, that is annoying. It's just like, what in the world is the purpose of all this? And the Lord is actually giving you an opportunity to prepare you for what's going to magnify him and fill you with great joy. Our scripture this morning, verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Let's stand. Today we're just going to have a time of prayer, and then just after that we'll briefly have our announcements. Heavenly Father, today we are very thankful for your word. And Lord, I pray that you would move on people's hearts this morning the way as you see fit. And Lord, they would hear what they needed to hear. And Lord, they'd be able to apply what they need to apply. And Lord, we pray that you would help us see the significance of what it means to make decisions that honor you. And Lord, even this week, would you help us to work out this wonderful, precious salvation that you've given us as a gift, a grace gift, Lord, a promise. Lord, help us to work it out with fear and trembling. Help us to see the value that it is. And Lord, help us to live in a way that really honors others. Lord, today I pray for the people gathered here. I pray so much, Lord, that they would shine as stars in a crooked and perverse generation. Lord, that they would hold out the word of life, and in so doing, many other people would come to know you and find hope and forgiveness and reconciliation, and Lord, and a home in eternity. Lord, give us courage this week to not complain, to not whine, but to be blameless, to be pure, to work out our salvation in a way that helps us shine, Lord. I pray you take the rust off and the tarnish, Lord, that you would clean us up, Lord, that people would not see our outward appearance, but they would see our heart, and they would see a faith that is expressing itself through love, Lord, that your great name would be hallowed. Lord, we love you so much this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time of worship. Now lead us and use us in the coming days ahead, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, we just have a few things, and then we'll be dismissed here. We'll go over our announcements. I didn't get one today. Did anybody guys get a bulletin or not? Got one, Todd? Thanks. Again, amazing. Thank you so much for everybody at the car show. Just a really great opportunity. And what the Lord just, what he just blows me away with is like, what an opportunity. These people, most of these people would never come to our church. Okay? Let's just be honest. There might be one or two, but as a whole, they're not going to come. And hopefully we can have more people even next year. But what's such an opportunity to go and to sit and to listen. I remember the first year we did this was the same response that the Lord just kind of like, you think I've learned the lesson by now, right? It's just such a great opportunity to listen, to talk. And we'll have hours, Lord willing, with the weather, but be in prayer even as the Lord will guide our church as to how to do this in the future. But I want to thank the Lord for all of that. We're going to try to put together a care package for Sindhu and Minnie's daughter, Sharon. And so the last day of the collection will be about a month from now on September 25th. And there's ideas posted there back at the Service Project Center on that table as you walk out. Also, we already talked about the Friday night fires, but on the 16th and 23rd around 6 o'clock, if you can come, if you want to come, weather permitting, we'll have some hot dogs and things of those nights. Please be in prayer for the revival coming on October the 2nd. And again, the minister's name is James Lindsay. He's actually from North Carolina, but he lives in Indiana now, and he pastors the Harvest Church up in Fort Wayne. And so be in prayer for James that he'd come and give us what we need. And this coming Wednesday, we are going to do some car show cleanup with our eating. So have some barbecue if you haven't had enough already. If you need to have a snack and then come to Bible study, then that's fine too. Come on at 7. But we're going to continue in Galatians 5. You guys, it's all coming together now if you can come. I know the Lord will bless you for that. And I think you'll be encouraged as we talk about freedom, the freedom that we have in following the Spirit. Any other announcements? All right. Do you serve a great God today? Amen, right? Again, be in prayer for Sister Diane. And if the Lord leads something on your heart, some act of kindness, I know it will be greatly appreciated. But let's continue to remember their family and pray that God be blessed. All right. Michael, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, today?